In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Okay, a bit of drama on Christmas morning is great, isn't it? Wow. So happy Christmas, folks. You're all very welcome to CORE. My name is Paddy. I work here. I run a ministry in the church here called Kids Club. It's an outreach ministry to the children and the families in the area. And yeah. And we recently moved in just down the road. It's about a 10-minute walk, so it's very handy to get here. So I woke up at like 10 to 9 and thought, oh! Just before I was printing out my talk earlier on the computer, and I was chatting with Rob, and Rob said to me, he said, you seem a bit nervous, are you all right? And I said, yeah, I'm okay, I'm a bit nervous, you know, always am before a talk, I said, but... He said, well, just keep this in mind. If your talk is under 15 minutes, no matter what is in it, people will generally forgive you. So I hope I'll try and keep it to the 15. So it's a great day today, isn't it? It's the King's birthday. It's the Savior of the world's birthday. And Rob, are you the only one with a new Christmas jumper today? Is there anybody else? Hands up. New Christmas jumper, lovely. Over here. That's great. I can't wait to get home after the service. Oh, you got a new shawl. Lovely, Anne. Very nice. Beautiful. I can't wait to get home to play with my remote control helicopter. Because in Finland, you see, you get to open your presents the day early. So I got to open mine yesterday. It was great fun. And so we were flying around the house with this little helicopter about that size. And I think it landed in a cup of tea at one stage. But hopefully it still works. So this morning, I want to talk about the gift of life and the gift of Jesus to mankind. I was talking to a friend of mine recently who works in Hollis Street Hospital, and she was telling me that the record in Hollis Street Hospital of births is 10 births in 50 minutes. I'd say they were busy. And that's only one hospital in one city in a small country. Can you imagine how many new babies are born every day in the world? I did a bit of work on this. And in fact, there's one baby born roughly about every 8 seconds. So, oh, sorry, I'm eating into my 15 minutes, sorry. There's another baby. So that's 450 every hour and about 10,800 every day. That's some amount of babies. But why does the birth of Jesus stand out from among all of the billions of births throughout the ages? Well, the first thing is there are over 360 prophecies about Jesus in the Old Testament. And we already read out one of them this morning. It's in Micah 5:2. And but you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will rule over Israel, whose origins are from ancient times. And in Isaiah 7:14, this is amazing, it says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. That's our theme this Christmas, is God is with us. All of these prophecies were made hundreds, sometimes even thousands of years before Jesus Christ was born. And his birth was God's rescue plan for mankind. God knew we needed rescuing from ourselves. And the religious rulers at the time of Jesus' birth, they'd got caught up with all the rules and the regulations and the rituals, and they just missed it, really. So the gift that God gave that first Christmas, it wasn't a religion, it wasn't a ritual, it wasn't more rules, it was he gave his son. And of course, for me and Salah, the whole subject of new life is especially relevant. As on the 17th of February this year, at 6:41 in the evening, we had a new addition to our family. Amelia Ashling Heron was born. And you know what? I can't imagine life without her now. She wakes me up every morning with a big smile and some baby talk, which I'm sure means, get the milk already. The day after Amelia was born, I was on the phone to Kathy, who was working in the office here, and I was on the phone to her. And I was walking around, I think it's Merrion Square, the park there, Merrion Park or something. I was oblivious to it all, really. I was in a euphoric state. And I remember talking to Kathy, and we were chatting about, you know, what happened and everything. And at the end of our phone call, I remember saying, Kathy, have you noticed today how beautiful the flowers are and how wonderful the birds sound and how beautiful the sun is? And I was just, you know, the birth of my daughter gave me so much hope and joy. It was like I saw the world through different eyes. But the birth of Jesus gives us the ultimate hope, for he is the hope of the world. Amelia changed our world, but Jesus changed the whole world. When Amelia was born, we were really blown away by people's reactions. The amount of goodwill and well-wishing and presents and gifts and cards was just amazing from friends and people around us. Kids club parents giving us gifts and the junior leaders coming up to us with gifts. And we were just really blown away. It was lovely. I was laughing at my own reaction the next day, I think. Salah sent me off because Amelia needed a cardigan. And I went to Mothercare in town, and I came back loaded with bags. I think I bought about €80 worth of clothes, and most of them which only last for about a week. She grew out of them. So what were people's reaction to Jesus' birth? Well, Mary, when she discovered she was going to give birth to Jesus, she sang a song. In Luke 1:46-47, it says, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. The angels, we read in Luke 2:14, says, suddenly a great company of heaven appeared, a heavenly host appeared with the angels praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." The shepherds in Luke 2:20, you know, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Last week, Rob was talking about Simeon, and he was a devout and righteous man. And when Jesus was presented in the temple 8 days after his born, it says, you know, Simeon had lived all his life to see the Messiah. When he held Jesus in his arms, he too praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." That's in Luke 2:28-29. There was another woman in the temple at the time, Anna. She was a prophetess. I think she was a spiritual heavyweight. She never left the temple. She worshipped there day and night, praying and fasting. She gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. That's in Luke 2:36. The wise men, in Matthew we read, the wise men, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of incense, and of myrrh. Interesting thing I discovered when researching about this is, myrrh has a strange property in that if you smoke it, it has hallucinogenic properties. But I didn't go that far into my research. But you know what? Not everybody's reaction was to praise and worship God. Herod, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. That's in Matthew 2. But when but Herod was not only disturbed, he was also furious. Matthew 2:16, it says this: "When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious and gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and young and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi." You know, sometimes when we read the story of Christmas, we maybe skip over this part because the main thing is Jesus' birth. But can you imagine the tragedy of what happened? God's salvation plan went into action, yet in the middle of it, Herod was having so many innocent children murdered. Can you imagine the heartbreak of the parents? Yet, God's kingdom was advancing. More was happening at this time than for probably hundreds of years before, but it looked like all hell was breaking loose. Sometimes in our lives, it can be like this. God is moving very powerfully, yet there are very difficult times to go through. And it can seem like all hell is breaking loose when exactly the opposite is happening. God's kingdom is advancing, and he is doing his work in our lives in the middle of it all. I have a brother, Matthew, and a few years ago, he became very sick. He suffers from epilepsy, and he had a seizure, and he ended up in the Cork University Hospital in the intensive care unit. I don't know if you've ever been to an intensive care unit, but it's a pretty scary place. And but the hope and the thing that I want to bring out in this story is that before he basically the doctors had to give him so many drugs to sedate him, to relax his mind, that he went into a coma. And he was in a coma for probably about 2 months, and whenever they tried to bring him out of it, he'd go into seizure again, and it was quite a scary time. It was a tough time for us. And but when he went into the coma, he was quite, and when he got sick, he was quite an angry, quite an angry lad. I remember him being angry at God because he had spina bifida, he was in a wheelchair, and he was quite angry at God. But the amazing and miraculous thing was that when he came out of his coma, and he came out slowly, and we didn't know whether he was going to live or die at one stage, but God, we prayed and we fasted, and God, in his amazing mercy and wisdom, brought him out of it, and he brought him back to himself, how he was before. But he came out of this coma saying, basically, as far as I can understand it, a Christian. He believed in God. He said, one of the first things he said is, I've come to terms with my disability. He also said, you know, I said, you know, through our conversations, he said he was talking to God and God was talking to him while he was in the coma. And he said, you know, God told me all about, you know, how much he loves me and how much he loves all of mankind. But he said, you know, he said, God told me that death is just a part of life. And all of these profound things he was he was coming out with, and I was just amazed at God and how he does things. There's a couple who live just down the road here, and during the year, a few months ago, their little girl, Macy, she was born with leukemia, and very sadly, 3 days after she was born, or sorry, 3 days after her first birthday, she died. But the amazing thing, I went to the funeral just down here in John's Lane. The amazing thing about that funeral was it was the whole community came together. There must have been like 500, 600, 700 people in the church. And it was like the whole community got behind that couple. And they said, you know what, we feel your pain. We're with you. And the priest gave an amazing homily that day. And even in the midst of that sadness, something of God's hope was seen in the way that the people supported each other and the community came together in solidarity. Often, we don't understand why and how God works the way he does. His kingdom is an upside-down kingdom. When we're weak, we're strong. The poor are rich. The last will be first. And you know what? The greatest paradox is that God brought salvation by sending his son to die. He brought new life through the death of his son. And then obviously raised him from the dead. In 1 Peter 1:3 it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead." I saw a quote recently in a book, a baby blessing book. It says, "Every child comes with the message that God is not yet discouraged." Jesus, when he was born, he came with a powerful message that God really isn't discouraged with mankind. He has a plan, and it is to save everyone, to reconcile everyone to himself. The angel who announced Jesus' birth said, "Today a Savior has been born to you." And I want to ask you today to take that "you" very, very personally. Jesus was born to each one of us, for each one of us, to die for each one of us, for every wrong thing that we've ever done. I've heard it described that behind his Christmas cradle stands the shadow of that Good Friday cross, where he loved you enough to die for you. Jesus is God's greatest gift to us this Christmas. And you can receive this gift afresh today and realize that your name is on it. Jesus is waiting to give you the gift of his forgiveness, his peace, and his heaven. Your name is on the greatest gift God ever gave. This Christmas, take his gift for yourself. It cost him everything. Maybe for some of us here today, Jesus has been standing there in front of you, offering you the greatest gift of all for a long time. But you've never realized that it had your name on it. You've never reached out and received it. And I want to encourage you today that if you've never received Jesus, today is a great day to do it. In Revelation 22:17, God invites us, "Whoever is thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life." Maybe for some of us here today, we've been Christians for a long time, and we need to ask God to birth new life in us, to give us new determination, a clear vision of the road ahead, of the things that he has for us in this new year. Or if we've been going through a difficult time, we need to ask God to encourage us that he is doing his work in our lives and in the midst of the turmoil. Looking at this year ahead, there's a quote from Bill Wilson. Anybody who knows me knows I quote Bill a lot. He always gets in there somewhere. It keeps challenging me, this quote. He says, if you want something you've never had before, you've got to do something you've never done before. This coming year, are we going forward with purpose into the things that God has for us? Just to finish, I want to read out this quote from a young African pastor. And I'm going to try and read this every morning in this new year, because it's all about moving forward with purpose into what God has for us. It's called My Commitment as a Christian. It says this: I'm part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of his. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm finished with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tamed vision, mundane talking, cheap living, or dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be right, first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on his presence, walk by patience, lift by prayer, and labor by power. My face is set, my gate is fast, my goal is heaven, my road is narrow, my way rough, my companions few, my guide reliable, and my mission clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of adversary, negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, let up until I have stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus. I must go till he comes, give till I drop, preach till all know, and work till he stops me. And when he comes for his own, he will have no problem recognizing me. My banner will be clear. So Lord Jesus, I pray this Christmas that we would receive the encouragement that comes from you, from your birth, the greatest gift ever. Lord, I pray if we haven't ever received you, that we would receive you today as our Lord and Savior. And Lord, I pray if we're discouraged, that you would encourage us and spur us on to greater things, because your kingdom is advancing. You are on the move. Lord, I pray you'd inspire us this Christmas. I pray you'd speak to us, we'd hear your voice, we'd know the things that you're calling to us to in this coming year. And Lord, if this is a painful time for us, I pray that you'd be in the midst of that with us. You'd encourage us and comfort us in the midst of that. And Lord, as with the angels and the all of the different people described in the Gospels, Lord, we want to praise you, we want to honor you, we want to glorify you. And we thank you, God. We thank you, Jesus, for being born for us, for being our best ever Christmas present, and ultimately to die for us and to be raised again. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.